Take a look. us with your light.
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
Motherland Media is on the air. You are listening to African Perspectives on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. African Perspectives, where we talk about the issues of our day from an African worldview, an African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak. Having been granted permission, to our ancestors whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters and friends, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. So I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is always an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who is living, and everyone who will live in the future. We have a common ancestral root. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were other cultures as well, such as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, great civilizations that were flourishing while Europe was still in a medieval or dark age. So we pour this libation to those contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, uprooted out of Africa, laying a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. They are now in North America, Central America, South America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to brothers and sisters who suffered the Holocaust of enslavement, of captivity. We do not know their names, but because of them, we are here. So we honor them and their sacrifice. We say Ashe. We pour libation to those men and women who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you'll know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a slave want to do? It wants to get free. There's over 400 recorded revolts of our people fighting on the continent, throughout the Middle Passage, and this hemisphere. We resisted. We were not slaves. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master, and we haven't and we will never submit. So we give honor and reverence to those men and women who fought. Denmark Vesey, Gabriel Prosser, Harriet Tubman, Nat Turner, and many, many others. We honor them we respect them for always standing and fighting for the liberation of our people. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good community life because we don't have good family life. Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is bad because we lack consciousness. Consciousness is more than just awareness. It's a deeper understanding of who you are culturally, historically, and the necessity to come together to produce family, which is produces good community life. So we pour this libation to the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We say Ashe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, I hope all is well with you today. I know it is Wednesday. It is hump day. Got to get over the hump. And for those who are working, I understand that, and I hope that's happening with you. I hope you've had a great day. I hope you're going to have a great day and that you're going to do all the things you want to do, need to do, have to do, must do, should do, better do. And I hope that the weather is accommodating for you to do it. But if it isn't, you know you better do it anyway. Stop being lazy. Stop being lethargic, man. Get up and do it. That's one of our problems, right? Let's do it. Just like Nike, the swish. Just do it. But on the real, that's what we must do. And one of the things we truly must do is get our minds right to do it. When you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, our call-in number is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. You can call in. If you want to call in just to listen, that's cool. But basically, people call in because they want to give their African perspective, and it's truly welcome. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you can't listen live, you can always go to the archives, blacktalkradionetwork.com, and listen to previous recorded programs. On Mondays, Let's Buy Black 365 at 8 p.m., all times that I'm going to give our Eastern times. So check out on Mondays, Let's Buy Black 365. On Wednesday, today, this evening at 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., it's Revive with Sister POC, Revive. On Thursday, tomorrow evening, 9 p.m. to 11, it's Us Lifting Us, ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa, or like we like to say, family-centered economics. I'm just so excited, and I want to report that the ULU Cafe will have a soft opening, as they like to call it, with friends and family and so forth. This Sunday, we're going to be opening this Sunday at our location on Sylvan Road. Sylvan Road and Georgia Highway 166 is right there. And so if you need to catch the expressway and get to Georgia 166 and get off on Sylvan Road, if you were traveling east, make a left. If you were traveling west, make a right. And it's right there. It's right there. Come join us. And we'll have a grand opening, which I'll be announcing very soon. So, Us Lifting Us, ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern time, it's time for an awakening. That's right. It's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. every Friday at 8 p.m. On Saturday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, it's Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore. Saturday early afternoon at 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. is Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. Black Reality Think Tank. And then on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Nope, it's not African Perspectives. It's our dear sister, Revive, with Sister POC. Revive from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. And then Sunday evening from 7 a.m. until it is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. There are other programs that are going to be coming on board. And it'll be announced to you as they come on board. Also, too, on Friday on Blog Talk Radio, my good friend and brother, Brother Joseph Muhammad, and his program is dealing with the survival of our people. That's right. That's from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness from 4 to 6. And the number to call, if you want to listen, is 563-999-3089. 563-999-3089. And that's on Friday afternoon from 4 to 6. I'd like to announce this program and other things that are out there, even though they may not be on the Motherland Media or on Time for an Awakening, but I think they're relevant programs that need to be discussed and need to be listened to because there's good information out there. Today, dear brothers and sisters, I'm very happy to have as my guest Brother Franklin Jones. Brother Franklin Jones. And I've read a lot of his stuff. In fact, I've read his stuff on this program because that's how profound I think that it is and how he hits the point because he's dealing with the psychology and the psyche of the African people, of the African mind, not just, of course, here in America, but globally because we are battling a global system of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. That's what it is. And my good friend, Brother Franklin Jones, with the Black People Matrix, you know, hopefully when you go online to look up, and because if you don't get the brother on, because I got him on Facebook, maybe it's because I look at those kinds of things that's how I got him, but I don't know. I'm just so glad I did because he's been putting out some outstanding information for our people, and I hope to have him as a consistent guest on this program, a reoccurring guest, whatever how you want to term it, on this program, because once again, great minds think alike. So, but no, there are a lot of us. No, let me be correct. There are some of us. No, let me be correct. There are a few of us who are in their right mind, who call it for what it is, and who are uncompromising, and who are unafraid. And believe me, I am. Even though they're taking some of our people out, into this Black identity extremism bull, which is just a continuation of the COINTELPRO and any all the other militaristics and police state tactics that this country has used. They arrested a brother down in Dallas. They said they surveillanced him. And they busted into his house, had some guns. He had a misdemeanor in another state, but they arrested him in Dallas under the disguise of Black identity extremism. They had a picture of the brother. I mean, he's got a kufi on. Looks like he got a necklace on. He got a Black Power, salute and that kind of thing. Also, too, they killed a Black Lives Matter organizer in New Orleans. They killed a Black Lives Matter a few days ago. You know, so the reality is I never, and will never, and you better never, you know, question what these crackers will do to maintain their position of dominance and control. You know, never. And that's why we need to get ourselves together. Brothers and sisters, I am honored and pleased to have as my guest today, Brother Franklin Jones. Brother Jones, how are you doing, sir?
Fine, my brother. Thank you, Barbara Show. I thank you for having me here. It's an honor to be on your show.
Well, I'm just glad that we had the opportunity. Like I said, I reached out to you, and then you later reached out to me, and then we had a chance to talk, and we met and broke bread and realized that, hey, man, let's, you know, I got this radio program. You know, you got a good website, the Black People's Matrix. Don't put an S on it, because I put an S on it. I couldn't get you. But I was like, man, wait a minute. What's up with this? You know, but it's a dynamic website. A lot of great information, some good video streams of some classes that he has done. Just outstanding. I mean, Brother Franklin, what I know. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Let me apologize for a second before I start. While I'm speaking to you, my voice is being blown back into my head. I'm hearing my own voice. So that might interfere with how I'm sound, but keep hearing my own voice while I'm talking. So I'm going to continue. So let me know.
Oh, okay.
Now you go on with your question.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure what can be done about that.
No problem. No problem. I'm not complaining. I'm just informing.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Okay. But basically, I know, what's interesting about you and some other brothers that I've met is that you were in the service, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. And go ahead.
Before you go into the service, there's something I would like to say. When I come on a show, speaking of Black, the African mind, the initial power of the brother on the show, which name was Franklin Jones, talking about the African mind, is that therefore not a contradiction? If you don't follow me, you don't know who I am, you would know that the name is a tool. It's merely a tool like I wear like a hat. When I on my last day, when they stand over my body, that's not the name they're going to be speaking.
Oh,
that's
Ashe. I like that.
As I speak more, you will understand it's about psychological warfare. It's about perceptions and everything. And as we proceed, I will go more into it.
Oh, outstanding. And you're right. And so there's a couple other brothers that I've met, and even since I've been here, that were in the service. And one brother is still in the service. But
yes.
His mind is right. And I know that going into the service, whatever branch that it might be, there's a heavy indoctrination process because go ahead.
You're absolutely right. I understand. I meet so many, even today, retirees who are brainwashed. But first, I would like this. A lot of time, my Blackness had been challenged because of my time in service. But I would like to say this. The majority of Black people who join the service is not due to patriotic reasons; it's due to economic reasons.
Exactly.
Like many of my brothers, I was living in the projects in Miami. My mother was a single mother. The opportunities were grim, and I used the military. That's how I got in the military. But I will say this though: I'm glad I went in because of what I've learned about psychological warfare, the information that I bring back to my community. I learned from the military. I learned from the government. I was in Iraq, and I saw how they use psychological warfare to manipulate the minds of the Iraqis, citizens. We took over their education, rewrote their curriculums and their books. We took over their media. We hired Americans who spoke Arabic to speak. We controlled their information. We controlled their minds. And it was through those experiences that when I left the military, retired, I started in my own community, sure, that's what's being done to us. I started understanding the power of propaganda. And the things that they were doing to those people, the things I saw, was exactly what was being done to us. Even how you turn people against themselves by bombarding them with information, misinformation about themselves. Even how you suppress the people by the education you give them. Let me give you an example. Many of us ask, why is it that we're not getting true Black history in our schools? And this has been going on forever. Why? System used to maintaining white dominance. When America claimed that they integrated the schools, they never truly integrated. An integrated school is when you bring an integrated curriculum in addition to integrating the students. So therefore, each student is being taught the history of each other. Each student is provided a racially affirming curriculum. When Blacks were put in school, we were indoctrinated because we were brought into schools where we were given a white exemplifying education. Now, this system is actually designed to maintain white dominance because for a dominant society to maintain their dominance over the oppressed group, the education given to the oppressed must be the least racially affirming. When the group is given a laceration of the affirming, this subconsciously makes them adhere to the dominance of the other culture. So in our school system, we are being socially engineered to believe in white dominance. We're being socially engineered to believe that whites are supposed to rule over. So when you start seeing the system, so these years of studying it, everything that I'm showing you, there are books, there are all of the things that we're experiencing, we call mental slavery, but we're not aware that there's a system. I'll give you an example. You know, when we talk about, when they say all lives matter, as a rebuttal to Black Lives Matter, there are books, that's a program. Those dialogues, those rhetorics, they mean nothing. They're a diversion tactic to ignore Black struggles. Nowadays, whenever a Black person protests, Black group protests, the dominant society never acknowledges our grievances, never validated. They instead will continue to bombard us with distraction. It's called mass gaslighting. They continue. That's why we're always getting these rebuttals. They divert us from our struggles. It's called mass gaslighting warfare. Now, when I say these things, had I not went into the military, hold on, with an African spirit that wouldn't be indoctrinated, the African spirit within me learned the information, studied the information, and brought it home to my community. So I benefited from it. I wasn't indoctrinated by it.
That's outstanding, because a lot of times some of the people who go into it, they go into it with their mind open, their heart open, and as a consequence, it is filled with whatever that they want to fill you with, and that person doesn't challenge it. That person doesn't sometimes reflect and look at what has happened to him or her. They just now go along to get along. Now they're the vessel that the Caucasian wants, and they do
exactly
whatever. They're like robots, you know. They're very robotic in that sense, you know.
I literally feel like the spook was set at your door. I'll give you another example. I was in a class on psychological warfare, how you suppress a targeted group, how you subdue them. You convince a population that their greatest problem is an internalized one, that they themselves are their own worst enemy. And you do this by continually bombarding them with negative information about themselves. After a while, the group internalizes it. They stop focusing on their true enemies and start fighting each other. This is all taught in the military. These are all government documents. This is taught in the war college in Fort Benning. All of these tactics that we're experiencing and the symptoms of the people, the internalized self-hatred, are the same things that we're experiencing in our community. And in fact, by learning these things also, you realize that some information that we share as knowledge or we share as being awoke are actually damaging to us. I will give you an example. The most damaging literature that's been passed in our community as knowledge has been the Willie Lynch myth. That is the most damaging one. And there are people who will fight you, Black people will argue. I sat in those classes with the white man and listened to their teaching about how it affects the mind. When you convince the way that the Willie Lynch does, the Willie Lynch myth convinces Black people that the problem is an internalized one. So, and it blames the person, it blames the culprit of our programming on someone in the fictional past. So therefore, it takes this group of our modern white society off the hook. So now we're thinking that the person did this to us. It's somewhere in the past, a figment of the past, and it also gives us a false, legitimate reason not to trust each other, not to believe in each other. It makes us doubt our ability to come together against our oppression. So the Willie Lynch myth subdues the Black man.
This is outstanding, because there are so many. Go ahead.
They don't study it. I mean, to emancipate ourselves from mental slavery, we have to understand what the system is. We have to study psychological warfare. We have to study the effects of propaganda. We have to education, the value of people's minds. This is a system that uses against us. I'm going to say something, too. The government never worries about a stop on Willie Lynch, because that is not liberating information. The information that we're discussing now, this is the information they don't want us talking about. How we're being controlled. the media image, like many black people, for example, we walk around, we have this view, for example. I'm going to show you some premises that we have that is not reality. Millions of African Americans believe that black people are marrying outside their race disproportionately, such that black love doesn't exist. Now, here's the deal. In psychological warfare, there's a saying that perception is more important than reality because people function based upon their perception of reality. And the way oppressors keep the oppressed down is by injecting into the minds of the oppressed a demoralizing self-perception of themselves. But it's an illusion, okay? But that's how you maintain dominance. So black people, you have time to walk around saying, there's no black love. But in reality, according to the CDC on the U.S. Census on marriage, 86.5% of married black men in America are married to black women. Only 7% have white wives. The married African-American women, 94% who are married have black husbands. Only 4% have white husbands. You see?
Right.
So black love exists and it strongly exists. 90% of black people marry black people. But see, reality doesn't matter. What matters is the illusion.
Right.
We function off an illusion of ourselves.
And the illusion that is given is always, from this society, going to be a negative one. It's going to be a detrimental one to how you look at yourself, look at each other, and your world. I mean, see, I think the other issue is, particularly now, those American Africans, male and female, who are married to or date Caucasians are highlighted. They're highlighted.
Exactly. They're, you keep showing them in the media and you create a distortion of
exactly,
reality.
Exactly. And here's another one. Here's another one that I'm constantly seeing, when you look at commercials. Today, they're constantly showing interracial commercials, particularly with Caucasian men and a very, usually, a very light-skinned sister. But you could tell that she's a sister based upon the fact that she is a few shades darker than he is, and her hair. Also, two children. You know, you see a lot of interracial. So even
you're right. Many people think that TV is just entertainment, but actually social messages, the greatest social message in a society is sent through television. Now, check this out. A group's identity comes from television, from what they see of themselves, and they form and they become those characters. There are narratives assigned for every group on television. If you're a writer and you want to put a new show, if your narrative that you're writing doesn't fit that racial group, it won't get on television. What we understand is our society is controlled by a few elites who create the narratives and the images that the world sees, they affect our perception.
I've seen another piece that you had, and it explains what you're saying as it relates to Dave Chappelle.
Yes, yes.
You know, Dave Chappelle.
I love the brother.
Oh, me too.
The brother.
I do too.
Okay, go ahead, brother.
No, I'll say I love Dave Chappelle as well, even more so than a lot of other comedians. You know, but what you had pointed out in the piece that I saw and read, you know, is the fact that he wanted to do this, but the Caucasians said, "No, we want you to do that." And he said, "Well, I'm not going to do it." And you've seen
Dave
Chappelle.
And they wanted him to have a white woman in a lead role in the show. I'm like, what? Yeah. You believe it?
Yeah. Yes. You know. So I mean, this is a 24/7, 365 process. That's why I agree with Dr. Francis Kress Welsing. European Caucasian supremacy, racism, and privilege is in everything they do. It's in everything, in all areas of people have to take it.
The television goes into each of our homes. If you think they're not going to use that to program our minds, you're a naive fool. That's their main system. I mean, you see, there's a popular show called The Walking Dead. Have you ever followed that show, ever seen that show at all?
I've seen a portion of it, so I really haven't followed it.
If you watch The Walking Dead, I don't watch it anymore. But you notice that you watch how the black men are portrayed in that show. the black men are always weaker than the white man. The white man always beats down the black man, and then the white man sleeps with the black woman. So the media is used to perpetuate white superiority and white alpha male dominance. We're being programmed all the time by the white man's ideology, through miseducation, through media programming. And the way to counter it is to be aware of what's being done to us. I'd like to give an example of how strong propaganda is, okay? If I was to say the word affirmative action, three times, just what comes to your mind when you hear the word affirmative action? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, and I've done the same thing, but if you say affirmative action,
you got knowledge. I probably shouldn't ask you. You're awakened.
No. But I understand what you're saying, because I used to do the same thing with the young people, students that I worked with, you know, back in Milwaukee. You know, I would explain to them how deep words are. That's why I don't use slave. I don't use master. I don't use black.
Right.
I don't use those words, because I understand when people hear a word, it forms it forms an impression and an image in their mind. Because when you said affirmative action, automatically I thought about myself and the programs of affirmative action that were initiated to help us. But of course, the biggest beneficiary of affirmative action was Caucasian women.
Stop. See, I don't connect. If you're awake, I shouldn't ask you. Okay, let me go back to affirmative action. Because you're awake. I knew you're awake. I know I shouldn't. But here's the deal. When we have affirmative action, right, there is this stigma of the lazy African-American, the African-American getting over. The term affirmative action has been a tool that the racists have used forever. Everyone claims to know of a white guy who lost his job to a black guy with affirmative action, and we don't all stand lying. But now that's the illusion. That's created through propaganda. That's created through media propaganda. And there are people who strongly believe it. In fact, there are black people who get humiliated when they hear the word affirmative action because it makes them ashamed. That's the effective propaganda, okay? That's the perception. Now, here's the reality of affirmative action. In 1961, when the affirmative action bill, before it was signed into law by the President Kennedy, here's what the white establishment did. They added white women as a population to receive the affirmative action, okay? They added to it, and the bill passed. And then the establishment made sure that the greatest benefactors of affirmative action were white women. So therefore, indirectly, the greatest benefactors of affirmative action is white society. But propaganda, successful propaganda campaigns, it's the black people. It's the black people. You see, that's an example of how perception, in this practice, it always says perception is greater than reality, and there's a program of certain perceptions. The white man controls the narrative the world believes, and he hides black greatness to perpetuate his superiority. And by making us believe less of ourselves is how he maintains his dominance over us. I'll give you an example. People says also, most of the contributions made by African-Americans, even to an African-American who goes around telling it, he doesn't know a lot of the greatness. It's going to be marginalized. But if the reason why we're talking on cell phones, as you know, as an African-American, you also know the reason why we're able to talk on the internet is because an African, a Nigerian scientist, it was he who invented a supercomputer that led to the invention of the internet. The reason why we have email system is because it's an African-American. Gigabytes, African-Americans. The list goes on that we're not hearing.
Exactly.
But here's how they maintain their white dominance.
Hey, Frank, let me tell you about the one I just learned about, the sister that helped work on GPS. And I want to personally thank her, because it's hard as hell to get around Atlanta without a good GPS.
Yes. You need to give me that one, because I want to add it on there. Because, you also know, the one who created the list. The
name was Gladys.
Removal eye surgery.
Dr. Patricia Bath.
UCLA. The list is so extensive.
Yes.
I'd have to read it to you.
Well, during this month, when I was working in the Milwaukee Public School System, working with our young people, and I'm a retired firefighter, so I had the time. So, you know, you work 24 hours off 48. So on those 2 days off, I would go into our school system to talk to our young people because I knew I was going to bring them something, give them something they were not going to get in that school system, and that was knowledge of self. And so during the month of February, even though I talk about our history 24/7, 365, but I focused, as it should be, on the history of our people with stuff that they definitely wouldn't know. And I would talk about the black inventions because in spite of racism, segregation, humiliation, things.
That's what's so remarkable about it. It's not just the fact that most of the inventions we use daily came from black minds. It's the fact that they came from black minds under the most oppressive conditions.
Thank you.
So in reality, I'm going to say our perception is a distortion. They fear us not just because of black retribution. They fear us because they know our greatness. And I'm going to tell you something. There was a speech, like a quote that you said to me last time I saw you by a Berry, a delegate out of Virginia.
Yes.
About what we were extinguished like.
Yes.
So I read the quote, and there's another line he mentioned in there. While he was talking about suppressing black people, he says we have to overcome that great mind, that great intellectual mind that God has given them. Now, when you go back and look at the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
He mentioned our great minds. So when you look at that, when they were talking about suppressing us, they were talking about suppressing our great minds. So therefore, they're feeding us a lie. That's why they're always telling you, oh, blacks are dumb in school, blacks are doing this. Those are propaganda programs to subdue us, make us believe less of ourselves. But when you look at the facts, we are the ones who provide most of the technology. And I'm not just out of my ass. I can show you the documents. I can research. I've been places speaking and showing these. We are functioning based upon a false perception of us because they maintain their dominance because they control the narratives about us. And so that's why they continue bombarding us. It's psychological warfare. Their goal is to keep us demoralized, divided, and self-loathing because this makes us easier to control. And if they're able to instill the myth of white superiority in the minds of millions of blacks, they will be more subservient towards them. And through their demoralization of us, turning many of us against ourselves, here's our situation. Before we awakened blacks can confront racism, we have to fight through the blacks that they programmed to defend white racism. So programs that we're being controlled by, and they're not. So often, people use the term mental slavery, and the more I started studying psychology, how society's created, propaganda, when I hear people say mental slavery, it's kind of disheartening because 90% of people who say it don't really understand it. That it's real. It's not just a cliche to say to sound conscious. It's in our school system. It's in our education. I mean, it's in our media. We're constantly being programmed with lies. And back to those numbers, when I said the 86.5% of black men are married to black women and 94% of them, what is so powerful about that? I'm going to tell you what's so powerful about that. The fact that all the programming perpetuating white as a standard of beauty, the majority of us are still marrying black. So there's an illusion of who we are. An illusion of who we are. And then they tell you that black love doesn't exist. We are the most lovingest people on the planet. That's how they enslaved us. Let me explain this. If you're a father and you say you're only going to work, all that man says do is threaten your children. You don't work, I'm going to cut your daughter's head off. You don't do it, I'm going to kill you. And you're a slave because you're loved. You know? So that's to say we don't love. You know, I watch this program all the time. Like they said, we don't love. People, once a person is programmed to believe something, that's all he sees. You know, all he sees. Like those who insist that the Willie Lynch is real, they said that black people are programmed to never support each other. Barack Obama twice received over 93% of the black vote. Black folks stood in line up to 5 hours to vote for that man. At his inauguration, black folks went all the way down to Washington in the blistering cold to support that man. Some black folks were stuck on the subway and had to listen to the inauguration from the subway. But yet black people don't see that. Oh, we don't support each other. They're programmed. They're not seeing it. They say black people don't love each other. Look at Trayvon Martin. Look at all the black people that traveled all the way down to Florida on their own expenses to show support and solidarity. family money. When Louis Farrakhan, the Million Man March, look at a number of black men on their own expenses went down there. We are functioning based a distortion of who we truly are, and that's how our oppressors, our wicked, insidious oppressors, control us. When you know your greatness, your mindset changes, and they fear that. That's why they hide narratives from us. That's why we're being miseducated. Because they want to maintain their dominance, and they use the TV, they use the propaganda. For example, they even make their numbers appear larger. Like when they tell the black people, you're now 13.5% of the population. I remember over 20 years, they were saying that you're 12%, you're 12%. They were saying in one narrative that we were screwing like bunnies, making all kind of babies and tearing down the welfare system. Then on the other hand, it says, no, you're not growing your population until 2050. It's a contradiction because they're vilifying us to validate the mistreatment of us. That's called manufactured consent to mistreat. And then they're demoralizing us to keep us believing less about ourselves. That's the Biden conquer warfare, also called the Biden rule. But this is not all reality. It's how they maintain their dominance over us. And to me, okay, in my opinion, and this is what I believe there's nothing more important than understanding the system that the oppressor is using upon our minds. Because I'm going to tell you, during the 1960s, America was humiliated by the global attention the African American community received from the civil rights movement. Dr. King was given a Nobel Peace Prize. There was all kind of support, and it tarnished the American image and eroded their standing in the world. So the American government realized that you had to mistreat black people. The blatant systems, you couldn't use it anymore. The blatant systems of the segregation and the beatings, no. So now they created a system to protect their white dominance through psychological warfare. Because in reality, although the U.S. government professes itself as being the proponents of equality and the leaders of equality in the world, in reality, they are truly unrelentingly committed to the preservation of their white dominance. So if they were to treat black people in a manner that truly promoted equality, they would be diametrically opposing their self-interest of maintaining white dominance.
Exactly. They would be opposing themselves.
That's the way it is. That's the reality.
Yeah.
And so that's why they continue to put up systems to protect their white dominance. And you see, for example, even in this meth epidemic that we're having, you see how they treat those white people, those white patients, they treat them as victims. But with the black people, with the crack epidemic, here is what they did. They used, and we know the story, but here's the intricate part of how propaganda was used to allow the crack epidemic laws to go into place. I've read all the different researches. I've listened to all the different lectures about the difference between crack and powder cocaine. You hear speculations, you hear innuendos. The top scientist says there's no difference. The top scientist says no difference because the ingredient of the crack cocaine, you had baking soda and water, and so that does not make it more potent in the process. But through propaganda campaign, they kept saying crack, 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 because when they kept saying crack, then it created a narrative that crack was more related to violence. So that's why they used it to create enhanced sentencing, justifying giving crack people found with crack higher sentences. But it was in actuality, it was used to target all communities. But the propaganda campaign of crack, it worked. So when white boys was found with a gram of cocaine, powder cocaine, briefcases, were getting 12 years, and a black man found with three pieces of crack was given 30 years, we said, okay, you shouldn't have that crack. Crack's bad. But in reality, there was a propaganda campaign to make crack seem more worse to justify the enhanced sentencing to black people. See? Propaganda is white man's favorite tool.
Of course it is, and because you could see that with the devastation that it had caused. And of course, Gary Webb, a San Jose Mercury News columnist, broke that story, and of course he was murdered. He was he was killed. He broke that story, and looking at the disparity between crack cocaine and powder cocaine and the longer prison sentences and so forth. And so the whole thing about drug abuse and the attack on drugs had a black face on it. It's just like we just said earlier that if I give words to you like I used to do with the kids, I said, well, close your eyes. I'm going to say some words to you. And you tell me, and you be honest, whose face do you put on it? Welfare. Black. No fit father.
Yes.
No fit mother.
Black. Yeah.
Gangbanger. Drug dealer. Drug addict.
And it affects, because they even prove, you know, in the new test where they do the doll test and you see black kids calling the black doll ugly.
Sure. I mean, you know, when they did that in the 50s, understandable. Yes. Understandable. But you would think during the 60s and in the power movement into the 70s and all these awakenings, but they did the test recently, within the last, I'd say, 10 years. They did
the programming, the same
results.
Okay. I'm going to share a story.
The same results.
I'm going to share the programming. My daughter, she's older now, and she's very conscious. So I don't know if she wants me to say this, but I want to share the story. When my daughter was very small, when she was younger, I remember one day she was saying that she wished that she was light-skinned like Beyonce. And I said, what? And it's where conscious on. Where are you getting this from? TV and all, she's seen light-skinned women. All it seemed like casting more light-skinned women. So we went to downtown to they had an Egyptian exhibit. And so we went to the Egyptian exhibit, and it was in Atlanta. And there was all a seat full of black people in there. So I got my daughter, and we stood by the wall. I said, I want you to look around. And what's the majority of colors of our people you see? I said, she said, chocolate, melanated, rich color. I said, yes, that's our color. I said, but the medium may take the lighter skin. And I don't use the word fair skin. Those words are by design. They would take the paler, and I'm not, I hated my light skin. Fair skin is by design. And I was showing my daughter that you're being programmed to believe that is the standard, but that is not the standard. That is not who we are. So you see that. So the programming happens all the time to our children when they're watching TV, when they're reading books. It's all around. We're always being information that implies white superiority all the time. The program, white is right, black is not. You know. But have you ever seen a people work any harder to subdue or suppress a people they deem inferior? Never. It's because they put a true narrative. Now, the masses of white doesn't. The masses of whites are dumb sheep, and they follow the program. They don't realize what's being done to them, because by painting the picture that blacks are the problem in America, it allows the white to control the white masses as well. By if they believe that all their jobs are going to the black, if they can believe everything on the black, they don't focus on the elites. They don't focus on the government. They think that is black man. So that's a program also that allows the elites to control the white masses also. So they're dumb. They don't understand the programming. They believe everything they hear. The elites in the highest echelon, they know the truth about the programming, the lies. The system is called Orwellian propaganda. Orwellian propaganda is a system where the oppressive governments control all the narratives, and they change everything. They change history to favor themselves. And we're victims of this. Like, for example, when a black person says, most of the Africans are sold us, they don't realize that they're functioning based upon narratives that have been programmed into their minds, because they're socially engineered to think in ways that serve and protect the interests of the white society. That's a part of our programming. And that's why you have black people believing these negative narratives, because the white man controls the narrative. He who controls the narrative, you control the media image, controls the people. Even the way a black man dress and act, when sometimes when a black man thinks it's his own swag, that's not his damn swag. That's a white man's swag, a white social engineering scientist who
exactly.
gave him that swag.
Exactly.
People don't understand this, and they get mad. But here's the reality. There it is, media social engineering, there are propaganda designers and media social engineering scientists who program us through information that we see. Okay, when you're watching TV, it's not like when you're in an argument, you're debating, you said, I agree with this or I agree with that. No, your mind is in an alpha state. It's also called the most suggestible state. And you just relax, you're seeing images and you're being downloaded information. This allows them to indoctrinate thoughts into our minds. And also, people image of themselves, what they see immediately, become those things. A lot of people think that the media reflects our reality. No, most of the time we imitate the media. And here's how powerful this is. If the white media controller wanted black young men to walk around with, let's say, an Afro comb, a yellow Afro comb in their back left pocket, all they would need to do is put it in several rap videos, put it in movies, and have it looking as cool and trendy. And having it looking as cool and trendy, all black youth would look at it and they will imitate it. Okay? These groups, when they create images for black youth to imitate, they create derogatory images, and we imitate it. And then we have these false narratives. The narratives, and people are not critical, these people don't research. Mr. Judge, you know, the reason why our black men are striking their violence is because of the prison industry. Okay? Bullshit. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for cursing. That's incorrect. I used to work for the federal penitentiary. I've done interviews with correction officers. I've done interviews with and I've seen a sagging homosexual in a prison. Okay? So I know the reality of the system. But for any trend to become nationally as large as the sagging pack came requires marketing. It finances. If not, a trend doesn't become national. It stays local or regional at best. This is why companies, when they have a product, they hire marketing firms to promote their style, their clothes, their product. I'll give you an example. Let's say a style comes up in New Orleans, right? And everyone's wearing their something out in New Orleans. That style does not become a national sensation. That style stays local unless there is a global marketing pushing behind it. The sagging pants became a style because it was placed in movies. It was placed in shows. It was placed in videos as cool and trendy. Our children watched it and they absorbed it. This same programming was used to teach African-Americans to call themselves niggers. African-Americans think that's their own word. That's a narrative that some white man wrote. And these people don't think. They go, oh, yeah, that's our word now. That's our word. It's so ridiculous, okay? And I'm going to tell you how we start using them. First of all, there's this narrative about the word niggers. Okay, niggers, let's use it. It's funny how once you're programmed to call yourself nigger, you would take any word that sounds alike. But in Africa, there are actually thousands of language and dialect, and each of those dialects and languages has a word that means king. Why is it the only word for king that's been circulated in the community is the word niggers? Let me say it again. Africa has thousands of words meaning king. Why is it the only word being transferred throughout our community is the one that sounds like niggers? Now, people, you know, the average person doesn't think. They just absorb. There are people in this world who have never had original thought because their minds have been programmed. The word niggers is not different enough from niggers, the other niggers, to change our mentality. So by having us drawn to using the word niggas, it keeps us connected to the mentality that came with the word of niggers. Let me tell you how we start calling ourselves niggers through social engineering. Okay, up until 1968, okay, the late 60s, the name niggas was considered offensive in the African American community. You wasn't allowed to say it because that generation of African Americans were close to they lived under the harsh times and the brutalities of being lynched. And they know that for sometimes that word nigger was the last thing that loved ones heard before being killed. That word nigger was a justification to cut a man's head off. And that generation of African Americans, they had grandparents who were born in slavery. So they knew the harshness that came with that word. But here's how social engineering scientists took the word and not only desensitized black people to it, but made it into a term of endearment. During 1968, 1970s, they started putting out these black exploitation films. They were written by white men, directed by white men, and you hire black actors to sit and drive, and call themselves niggas. These movies brought to the young African Americans an image of black people fighting the establishment. We never really saw black heroes, so we absorbed those characters. We were attracted to those characters. But we also absorb the word nigger, the word of terminologies. Now, why is this significant? Because words truly affect how we think. A word affects our perceptions of ourselves. That's why a woman who took proclaims himself to being a bitch starts acting like one. This is why a man who says he's a dog starts peeking. This is why a man who says he's a thug is less likely to walk away from a fight than is to go to fight. Words affect who we see, how we perceive ourselves. It's a psychology that the elite don't want you to know. That's why they insist on keeping the word, those derogatory into our rap music.
Exactly.
Here's what it tells the naive artists. Black people are real. We want your music to be authentic, and we want to represent the street. But the young black rapper is ignorant of social engineering. Okay.
And see, one of the things that happens with that is that we don't understand that. And so we just think that we took that word and we changed it from nigger to nigga. And some of
but
you
that narrative's a lie. That right. is a feeble, I'm gonna say it, that is a feeble minded lie. The only one who can say that and believe that is someone whose mind is ignorant. Once you become knowledge and you study social engineering, the power of words, you realize that you can't you call it take that word and flipping it. That's like looking at a pile of shit, putting varnish on it, and calling it furniture.
Right. And see, but see what happened. Is. But of course, what happened is that we thought that, and you're right, because we even make an acronym out of it, N-I-G-G-A, a never ignorant getting goals accomplished. Now, I'll say this: if that was the case, if we were never ignorant and we were getting our goals as a people accomplished,
yeah.
then I would be like, nigga, 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 nigga. But that's not
okay,
the
okay,
case.
Let me say something. Let me say something. Here's the problem with the word. The programming of the original word of how nigga was used for the last 3 years is deeply enrolled into our society, into our psyche, that using a sound like word just because you're doing something different does not restore the mindset. So that the sound like word keeps the ideology of the nigger that a white man put into our minds. The word is too close to be used as a remedy to restore minds. You can't. Let me give an example. Let's give an example. You see, I had some brothers who were starting a black movement a while back, and they turn around and they put these they started looking like the guys in the 60s. They started putting the black logo on, saying "Paul" wearing boots and on television. And I was trying to explain to them the power of perception. That is not that image that you're projecting has already been demonized by the white man. Demonized. Don't put on the same uniform that was already demonized by the white man. It's not effective. Okay? So the same thing, if you think you can get a word, nigger, and change the spelling, to be honest, I don't care who's angry. Only a feeble-minded person can believe that. Now, here's why I'm speaking this way. Our problem in our community is those who know are afraid to speak, and those who don't know keep talking. And here's why it continues. That's also by design. Who didn't give a national platform? They always talk idiots up there. They always put people don't know what they're talking about. And that's how they want to represent us. They don't want the ideology to be awakened to ever make a national platform. That's how you now control us. So then we have all these alkaline premises, and we're using them by their knowledge, but they are not.
Well, you know, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back from the break. We're going to continue this conversation, a very spirited conversation. I'm enjoying it. I hope our listeners are enjoying it as well. And you can join this conversation. Please do so. You can dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and Black Talk Radio Network. Network.com, and we're speaking today with Brother Franklin Jones of the Black People Matrix.com. The Black People Matrix.com. I'm going to play one of my instrumentals it's not an instrumental too much. It's Mandrell, Fence Walk from 1972. We'll be right back, brothers and sisters. We'll be right back.
is what you do.
Yeah.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You just listened to Mandrill Fence Walk from 1972, one of my favorites. We have a caller, 602. Caller 602.
Yes, Brother Oshie. Good morning, and good morning to your guests. It's Brother Marcus.
How you doing today, Brother Marcus?
I'm doing great, good brother.
Good.
You know, what the brother's saying is true. You know, this is, it's mainly psychological warfare. But I want to say something about that word, that nigger. You see, they gave us that name to take us out of the human family, because there is no Niggerland nowhere on the planet.
That's right.
A man is usually associated with the landmaster they come from. If you say a man is a China man, you could look to China and say the, you know, the mass majority of his people. Look to, if a man is Indian, you can look to India. But when they gave us that name, that took us out of the human family. Because there is nowhere on the planet you can look and say, well, it's near a nigger land, see? So they, I guess they erased Africa from our mind totally here in America. But you know what happened? He made a big boo-boo when he did that, you see? Because of the way he treated black people, especially in America, so bad. It made the black people in America conscious of their blackness. You see, because in America, you know, the black people, they know they're black. You ain't got to convince black people in America that they're black. And the black people proud, I'm black. You know, they get up and say, you know, I'm African or whatever. Now, when you go to the Caribbean and to Africa, it's a different story, you see, because he don't operate outright. You know, he operates through his black flunkies. You see, he has his flunkies that he put in place. You see? So it's kind of harder for us to really, especially if we live outside, to really see what's going on. Now, when we travel here, because when the white folks come to the Caribbean, like I can speak for Jamaica, when they come to the Caribbean, they laugh and smile with you. Oh, you know, I love Jamaica, this and that. You know? And, you know, we treat them royally. But when we come here, it's a different ball game. You see, you get a wake up call, you know. Say, you know. So as I said, your brother is right. It is psychological warfare on the state level, and that's why brothers like yourself and the guests and programs like your program and Time for Awakening is so important, because with these programs we can crack that his machinery, cause you know that's really what's going on. You know, it's cracking now. It may not look like it's cracking, but it's cracking. And you see, they are turning on themselves now. You really watch what's going on. They are the ones. So we should encourage that and promote that and make them become the victim. You know, but. You know, you keep on keeping on, and I continue listening, brothers. Thank you so much.
Brother Marcus, thank you once again for continuing to listen and continuing to contribute to the program. We really appreciate you, dear brother. Thanks, Brother Marcus.
Thank you.
And what Brother Marcus said is correct, and what my guest, Brother Franklin Jones, is saying is most definitely correct. It is about the African mind. In this program, African Perspectives is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. It is all about what we think. And because of how and what we think is how we're going to act and behave. And it has been directed. It has been directed. When I, this past Monday, we talked about Dr. John Henry Clark and what he was saying. Last week, I think was Wednesday, which was the first day of African History Month, African American African History Month, we talked about Carter G. Woodson and his great quote: if you control a man's thinking, you don't have to worry about his actions. If you render him an outcast, he'll be an outcast. If you can keep sending him to the back door, even when there is no back door, because you have conditioned him, you have trained him, he will make a back door. He will cut one for his own benefit because he has been trained to do so. Of course, I'm paraphrasing, but that is the bottom line. We are in a war, dear brothers and sisters. We are in a sister soldier said, we are in a war. We're in a war for the minds of our people.
My brother, I totally agree 100%. The way to combat this war
is to enlighten the people, not just narratives. Explain to the people. It's like anything, a trick. If someone doesn't know a trick, it works on them. Once they realize how the trick works, it stops working, loses effect. As a saying, the mind expands to a greater size, never turns back to a smaller size because the truth won't let it. We have to understand what's being done. And I'm going to tell you, I like to mention some perception that we have and where they come from. For example, the perceptions, you ever realize how people come to America and look down on African-Americans? You've experienced that. You've seen it? Where they have this, they come to this country and look down upon African-Americans. And I meet a lot of African-Americans who get angry about it. And they even had the situation where some of the old brothers from other countries look down upon them. Understand why that's being done. It's because there is a global propaganda marginalizing and denigrating African Americans because it manufactures consent for America's mistreatment of African Americans. That's why that's happening. And the reason why African Americans are constantly being given negative pictures of Africa rather than never seeing the beautiful cities in Africa. Okay, first of all, there's a propaganda where you rarely see the slums of Europe in the mass media. And you only see slums of Africa in the mass media. This program perpetuates the myth of white superiority, propaganda. But it also keeps black people in America under control. It prevents us from pursuing reparations because here is what the programming simply tells us. Oh, slavery did us a favor. Slavery is a favor because slavery took us from the backwardness of Africa. It took us away from the evil place of Africa. You have black people walk up and say, I'm glad my parents were enslaved, my grandparents were enslaved. That is my ancestors because did me a favor. That's the narrative of the white man inside the African mind. But you have to understand how it's happening. They are also African. Why is it we don't have any more kings, Dr. King, or no men like Malcolm X around us anymore? There were novels. We don't have that anymore. We need another Dr. King. Now, here's the reality. Here's the reality. To say we don't have another Dr. King or another Malcolm X, that's bullshit. Now, here's the deal. I'm not putting those men down. They're great men. Malcolm X is my hero. Malcolm X and Steve Biko are my heroes, okay? So I'm not putting them down. But here's the point. To believe that all the millions of African-Americans in this country, there's not one African-American who can stand on the platform and all to our cries, that's not what's going on. Here is what happens. The white elites realized in the 1960s that when they put the camera in the face of a pro-black man speaking, he increased his power because he got more followers, more popular. So they were giving him power. Well, now the white elites do not give media attention, don't give a national platform to those whose ideology is against the interests of the establishment. It's like they treat true black leaders. They treat the men among us who are like Dr. King, who are like Malcolm X, you treat them like weed in a garden. You don't put water on weed because it spreads. So what you do, you deny water of the weed because you want a weed to die. So when you see a black man on a national platform, you're seeing someone who is controlled, who's one of them, who is a figurehead. And this creates the illusion that, oh, there's no more men like Malcolm X around us. It's the illusion, and it demoralizes us. Also, many black people believe that we're effed up, man. You hear this saying, I can't stand black people. Any black person who makes disparaging comments about black people, it's not a woke. You can't be a woke and say that. Because when you're a woke, you know that the media image of black people is controlled by white people. What they do is they pick who speaks on a national platform. The intelligent, the awakened black people don't get a national platform. So it creates this illusion that we're all sleeping. We're all dumb. We start believing these things, but there are millions of us that are awakened, but we don't get a national platform. There are millions of us who know what's going on, because you control the people to always showing them the worst in them. We're constantly being subjected to seeing the fraudulent worst in ourselves, and it demoralizes us. And we become demoralized. We become self-doubting, and we become self-hating. This program literally turned the collective frustrations of black people away from the white society and turned them inward against ourselves as a means of protecting white dominance. It's psychological warfare. The way you free from it is realize that the white man is a lie. Never allow him to affect your perception of your people. Never let him to affect a black man should never let what he sees in media affect the perception about black women. because he must know that the media image of a black woman is a white product. Okay? They're not going to show on all those black women who love black men, who speak strongly about black men, the millions. And there are more black women who praise black men than those who put them down. But you don't believe it because you're affected by propaganda illusion. You begin to see only what they tell you to see. That's why some of us believe that white created all the inventions. When you look at the facts, that's why people believe that affirmative action is a black man getting older, when in fact whites are having more affirmative action. In fact, the greatest recipient of all welfare is white women. But yet, you notice in 1987, the reform bill, Bill Clinton brought two black women in front of him while he was signing the bill, perpetuating the propaganda that those black people are ones on welfare. Our negative perception of ourselves is wrong. If you have a negative perception of yourself, you are brainwashed. I'm not living in a dream. I'm not living in a dream. I'm not saying everything we do is good. I'm telling you the information that you receive because you're being programmed. I was given a lecture, and you have people always up says, I can't stand black men. I can't stand black women. I've always done this. I've asked them to stand up. And I would say, okay, man, you said black men ain't shit. How many black men have hurt you? She wouldn't say. I said, okay, I'm gonna say 10. I said, I'll even give you 20 if you want it. Okay, let's say 20 black men. And I told her, I know your number's not higher than 5. Your number's not higher than 5. But yet you believe, here's what's happening to you. You're 3 or 4 negative relationship with a black man. It's not enough to quantify you hating your entire race. This programming of you that you hating your entire race is because your negative experiences are being backed by media propaganda. So once you see these negative people of black men, you say, yeah, all black men that way. This is all a science. There are books on this stuff. We have to understand it. Now here's what we need to do, and it's my opinion, okay? And it's what I believe. Now, so often we regurgitate the same information over and over. We talk about Willie Lynch, and we remember our heroes, which we should. But if we are truly to emancipate ourselves, we have to study the enemy. We have to study the tactics the enemy uses against us. Because if you think that our worst problem is a Klansman or a black person getting shot by a cop, no. Those who are coming after us are social engineering scientists, propaganda designers. They have doctorate degrees, and they're social engineering in our schools. So we have to elevate our thinking to emancipate our situation. We have to.
You know, I think that one of the unfortunate issues and problems that we as a people have accepted the Caucasians' narratives. We have accepted their culture. We have accepted their way of doing things. And as a consequence, we hate ourselves and we hate each other because we don't understand that we've been trained to do so. And so we think that we're less than and incapable of. And the bottom line is that the only way to get out of this is you reject what Caucasians have done. I don't give a damn about nothing that these Caucasians have done. I mean nothing. In fact, to me, the only real hope for us as a people globally is that we purge ourselves of the Caucasian mind that has been implemented in us in the ideas of our inferiority and our inability. We purge ourselves of that. We reject any and everything that they talk about, and we do for ourselves. I know it's very hard.
I totally agree.
I know that's hard to do. I know that's hard to do because you're bombarded 24/7, 365. And not only in this country, but once again, European Caucasian extremism, racism and privilege is global.
It's a way to combat it because, listen, in those same books I've been reading, the same class they teach, they say you fight propaganda with counter-propaganda. In fact, they say the only way to fight propaganda is with counter-propaganda. And the counter-propaganda must be spread just as rapidly and just as strongly as the propaganda. Once a people, we have to thoroughly develop an understanding of what's being done to us. And then we have to all do our part to teach our people. Because I'm telling you, once you understand what is being done, your mindset changes. Once you understand what's being done, you teach with others, you interact. Out of a necessity to survive, which is part of the human condition, you develop counter strategies once you realize what's being done to you. That's why our oppressors want to keep it quiet. That's why they don't want us to know what's being done to us. Because with knowledge, there comes power. Truly, true knowledge. That's why you see they kill our speakers. They kill Stephen Biko for trying to elevate the minds of his people. Because there is power. It is true. A mind, when given the proper information, when given the truth, it expands to a new size and it never goes back to sleep. We have to understand the proper curriculum. There are a lot of information that's actually within our community creative. I call them ideologies. And we have these visual follow ideologies. And that's how the white man has it all divided. If we realize and start studying, if we care about the mind, because our greatest problem is the monopoly our oppressors have over our minds. Okay? Now, once you say that, once you acknowledge that, it's time to study the tactics they use against our minds. This whole thing is not I'm not just saying this out of my head. If you ever Google the Tavistock Institute of Human Behavior, you'll find that it's an organization of white elites who came up with these programs to control the mind. Back then, they realized that it only required 12 major newspapers and to control the minds of the people. If you study also, you will find out, you ever heard a story, War on the World, where Orson Welles did a radio broadcast, and the people listening to radio broadcast started running around wild in the street? And that was actually funded. Now, the narrative is that after it was finished, the Rockefellers started doing research on it and used it to control the masses. But there are actually other authors who said that program, that whole thing was funded by the Rockefellers, to see how mass media affects the mind, the effects of mass media on the mind. We are being programmed, and we have to understand this system to liberate. You have to understand this system to liberate. Have you seen anyone who thoroughly read the Willie Lynch letter and mindset change? Hell no. Because he's thinking that what's happened to him was done by a fictitious ghost of the past. He doesn't recognize that his mind has been attacked every day 24/7, that a program is embedded in the educational system and the media all the time. Propaganda, 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 implying white supremacy.
Well, you know, I've
even
seen...
when you're shopping on Christmas time and the music is playing, they sure. Even put subliminal voices say, buy more, buy
exactly.
More, buy more, don't steal. And they didn't talk about that. It's the public.
You know,
because it works under the conscious, the subconscious.
The brother,
if we're serious about liberation, we have to start recognizing what the man is doing. He controls perception. He controls the perception of us.
Yeah.
Our narrative is controlled by him. He controls our image. So we are functioning based upon a negative distortion of who we are. He hides our greatness from us.
Through
the fact that he controls the societal information that we see.
You know, there was a... I saw the brother on a number of times who created the Willie Lynch letter, because I know there are a lot of us who think that it was true, that at that time that somebody who had a plantation in Barbados supposedly comes to Jamestown, Virginia to talk to...
Okay, hold on. Let me say something real quick that you're on there. I understand why lots of people think it's true, because there's a horrific part of it that is true. Like white people always do, they mix a little bit of truth with it, lie. So we were victims of a acculturation process when we were now. We were ripped apart. We were raped. They put fear into the black man. They showed a woman that the black man couldn't protect her. Those narratives are real.
No.
But the system that there's a man who programmed us to ever hate each other for 400 years, that part is a fairy tale.
You know, what I was alluding to was the fact that the brother who did it, he explained that the fact that you, just as you just stated, you're right, those things happened.
Yes.
You know, those things happened. And what he was trying to get our people to see, and maybe in his thinking, is saying that here some Caucasian man comes into a situation saying, I can give to you information and a way and a method that you can control these people, you know, for the rest of your life and their life and the rest of our existence to maintain the position that we've created. And not only did he...
Stop a second, please. Can I stop a second? You do know that to program and brainwashing and real brainwashing, it is a system that requires constant reapplying. It doesn't just work through organic. You can be a
right. It has to be reinforced. It has to be reinforced. Yes.
You can be a father of a child and raise your child a certain way, and your child different from you. Your child do things differently. So to think it's all organic programming, no, it's reinforced and reapplied.
Right.
Continuously, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And so what he is saying is that because they have bombarded us 24/7, 365 with all of these negative notions of our inferiority, all of these things of our inability to trust one another, to support one another, work with one another, all these divide and conquer methods that have been used. And just as you stated earlier, the only way to combat that is to infuse ourselves with a love for ourselves and a trust with one another. That's the only way, you know. But here in America, that's going to be difficult for us to do, because what this Caucasian has done is he controls what happens in this country. He controls that.
Yes.
Now, some of us can argue, well, we have our own mind. We can do this, that. No, you can't. Not in their system. No, you can't. Here's a recent, and I've stated this many times on this program, we can't do a damn thing about how Caucasians think and how they act and what they'll do, because they suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe that they are superior, and even though there's a plethora of evidence to prove otherwise, they ignore it, they dismiss it, and they go on as business as usual for them. Just recently, now even though Dr. Sheikh Anjajop proved in 1975 at the symposium in Cairo, Egypt, that the ancient Kemetic people were African people, here just recently, a few days ago, they unveiled a bust of Nefertiti.
White, I see that.
Yeah. She was Caucasian.
Okay, listen, you're 100%. But no secret about it, they still hiding. You know, in 2012 and 2013, there was a DNA analysis done on Pharaoh Ramsey III, his son, and several other mummies. The DNA analysis concluded that they were black. Their DNA was consistent with the sub-Saharan Africans. So we have scientific facts. They were black, but yet the white people continue. It's his lie.
Exactly.
It's called Orwellian propaganda. He distorts everything about white society's lie. Their media
exactly.
Lie. The history's lie. It's all a lie.
And so here they unveil this, you know, big kind of thing. That, just like they did Tut, of course. Just like they did
that's
Tut.
Propaganda. You know, and, you know, they even had the audacity to come back and say that they just bring a propaganda that King Tut was European. Now here's the deal. The DNA analysis shows, and you see the pictures of King Tut. You see him, black skin, that they made, the Egyptians made of him. You see his grandmother, Queen Tai. You see the DNA analysis of all the Egyptians. We know he's black.
Right.
But they're propaganda because they want to perpetuate the perception of their white superiority.
And see, now you know? granted, you can make an argument, if the cracker wants to, about the Ptolemies, which comes after the dynastic periods. There's 30 dynasties in ancient Kemet, and we're talking about right here, right now, Tutankhamun, Akhenaten, Nefertiti, you know, we're talking about them. That's the 18th, 19th dynasty. You got near 20 more dynasties to go.
Yes.
You know, 10 more dynasties to go. But the deal is that they want to consistently make you believe that you ain't never been nothing but a servant, nothing but a slave, because they have all these other movies that have come out since that time, still portraying.
Okay, the white man always create narratives to justify his endeavors. When the white man went and started enslaving Africans, he said, the Africans are savages. We are doing them a favor by introducing them to the white man technology. the lie, yes. the narrative.
Yes.
And everything that was that didn't fit that narrative, they hid, they pushed away. And they have many black people believe that the Africans were illiterate and dumb when the white men arrived. But if you study the history, did you know they found a 22,000-year-old mathematical tool in Africa? 25 years old, mathematical tool. You know that the first encyclopedia was in Africa, the first university in Africa? But because the white man, he doesn't pay, and people don't understand this. There's a saying in propaganda. There's something that propaganda says, the truth doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
Is greater.
It doesn't.
I'm saying this is what they say. When you understand the truth doesn't matter because people function based upon their perception of the truth,
right.
That's why they distort the perception. Now, here's the deal. If we can talk and we can say, yeah, but it comes across as if we're venting. And I go places and we're just venting. Or we're standing up and we're venting, okay? Once you understand how the mind works and how the system works, you don't just stand up and vent. You understand how it works and you teach the people what's being done, how it works. Now, here's the deal. Once the people understand the truth and they start accepting the truth, their minds become renewed. All you have to do is learn it, understand it, and teach it. And your minds begin to become renewed. And an example I've told you before. There's a scenario I share with my lectures. There is this African village, and there's some European neighbors 3 miles down the road. Now, these Europeans are putting poison in the well. Now, these Africans don't know that the Europeans are putting poison in their well water. So also they're getting sick. While they're getting sick, they start thinking that they're cursed. And all these kind of premises, not knowing what's going on. Now, here's the deal. But once you call the villages together and you sit the villages down and you tell them, explain to them that the water is being poisoned. Every time you go to the well and you drink it, it goes into your body and affects you. The human condition, once you understand the trap, once you understand the trick, out of a necessity to survive and escape your situation, you will develop counter strategies. You don't even have to tell the people what strategies to create because the people will create many strategies themselves. But you have to educate the people of how the system works and what's being done to them. So people are given that information, you're empowering them. Because once you empower them, they know what to look for. Like my kids now, they're older. They turn TV on, they see something, they know right away, it's dead, here it is, red. If one of the kids invited to church, I don't go. If they hear a scam, they see right away. They know it and they laugh. Because you teach them the system, and as a result of it, you start protecting your mind. And some things are so funny, so silly when I look at it. I'll give you an example. 6 months before they killed Gaddafi, I was telling people they're going to kill him. 6 months. Because I've been studying for so long, I started watching the media, I started seeing how they were vilifying him. And I watched how much hours they dedicated just to making jokes about his UN speech. So as they were putting all this money into this program, I thought, they're going to go after him. They're manufacturing consent for what they're about to do. You know? And that system for manufacturing consent, I say it, but just understand how effective it works. And I'm going to give you a system that you really have to understand how they work. I'll give you an example. I'm a sheriff, and I want to get more guns for my police, my sheriff department. I want taxpayers to pay it, right? But if I go ahead and petition to get these money, the funding for new guns, everyone's going to say no. Everyone's going to say no. So what I would do, I start putting out propaganda that my police would be gunned down. My police would be shot. If I have a cop who accidentally shot himself, don't claim his weapon, I'm going to tell stories that, no, he was shot, he was outgunned. And you start putting this propaganda in the media. Now you come forward and say, I need guns. I need more money. Everyone will say, okay, give him the money. Because he created the environment through propaganda that puts sentiments on his side. The white man uses propaganda for everything.
No doubt. In fact, when you said that, it reminded me of, I believe it was Chicago or one of the cities that said, we are being outgunned by the gangs, by the thugs. We're being...
you know, remember that brother got shot in his car? Brother got shot in the car, and his girlfriend put it on Facebook.
Right, right. Philando Castile. Philando Castile.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, as soon as that been viral, 2 days later, the news shift. Cops been gunned down. And don't worry, suspect, we blew him up with a bomb. He's totally obliterated. Now, you can tell there's some holes in that bullshit story. But did it not assume blacks are fighting and protesting? It did. They played this story in the media, so now the narrative has changed. Cops gunned down. We've got to support our cops. And the masses and all that anger that we saw from the video, it was diffused. The narrative switched. Oh, cops got killed. And then there's no trial for the person. Nothing. Have you ever heard of someone in the history of America sending a robot with a bomb outside to go blow a man up? I don't see that crap. But that's the narrative they've given us. But what it actually did was diffuse the black anger. Propaganda is all propaganda. They use the media to control us, to support us.
Because, but you got to understand.
They had a show a while back about the CIA bringing drugs into the black communities, right? Now, while you're watching the show, it starts off about the CIA. In the middle of the show, it was so badly done. It was almost like you spliced two movies together. They're talking about CIA, then all of a sudden, the narrative script, and now they're talking about this black guy who's the most prolific drug dealer in American history. So they shifted to make it look like a black man was bringing the drugs. But people understand the manipulation. They don't understand the propaganda, so they buy into it. They fall into it. You have to, once you understand the system, it doesn't affect you the same way. In fact, it infuriates you when you see the tricks.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. In fact, all of us should be very angry, but we're not, because they've been controlling our minds and we've been kind of like in a sedated state, you know. But the reality is that if we don't wake up and believe our scholars, our historians, our educators who are teaching us to think independently, who are teaching us to step outside of the imposed boundaries.
Yes.
Or more importantly, to release that vice grip that these Caucasians, these crackers have on our minds. And of course, if you understand the tool, once the vice grip is set, you just can't pull it apart. And so in analogy sense,
the African saying, those who know must teach.
And exactly. Exactly. And it's important that we do so. But the problem is, a lot of us don't understand about the vice grip that's on our minds. We think we have our own minds. We think independently. We think correctly. We think that everything that has been indoctrinated into us. Let me make this point, because it is very important to think that, because we want what crackers have. So if we have our own minds, because I went to Harvard, I went to Yale, I went to Georgia Tech, I went to the University of Georgia, Wisconsin, whatever. I went to the halls of academia of this country, and so therefore I'm thinking, you know, I have this great wealth of knowledge and information, but not understanding that everything that in the society is there within the society, like Francis Cresswell Zing says, to facilitate their dominance and control. Go ahead.
I want to say something. My mindset, I don't put energy into those black people who are resisting, who are speaking against it. I embrace and find strength in those black people who connect. I put no energy, so I feel no frustration. I only focus on those who connect. And I find them all the time. You know what? Some of our people are not gonna wake up. But that's just the situation, because it's like this. Sometimes a fruit falls from a tree, and it hits the ground and rolls so far down the valley that it's no longer of the tree. The hard fall and the roll has totally changed it. It changes it so much that the tree, that their fruit is no longer of the tree. And there's nothing you can do to make that fruit of the tree again. And that's the minds of some of our people. So when I go and I pick up a rotten fruit that is no longer of the tree, I move on.
Right on.
And
that's a good one.
Another fruit that's of the tree. That rotten fruit doesn't affect me. I don't get frustrated. I just see other
fruit. Right on. Well,
even if I had to walk to 10 rotten fruits, to find two good fruits, I'm still happy. I'm still elated. The joy I get from those two fruits, it lifts me. I don't have to worry about those other fruits.
Right on.
Just because this, the truth is also powerful. Us, understanding, and so on. Okay, I'm going to give you a self-evident truth. A self-evident truth. We do know that our president has spent billions of dollars in media campaign, social engineering, miseducation to control our minds. If the potential for us waking up wasn't there, they wouldn't be spending those dollars. The white, greedy white man, he's spending those millions to miseducate. He can just apply his programming on us because he knows the potential of waking is there. So therefore, we know that if we take control, we understand, first of all, if we accept, what can you do within your system? We're under his school system, okay? We're under his media. We have to act our ancestors. And we have to all learn the information and share the information. We must treat the internet like it was a modern African drum, passing the information to our people. Learn and teach. But we don't cling to feeble-minded premises. We don't cling to fairy tales. We don't. Anything that requires us to wake someone from the sky, that's not our original teaching. That makes us complacent. That puts prisons on our minds. We have to understand the science and understand every science is a counter science. That's how it is. Every science is a counter science. We study a science, what's been used against us, and we build counter science against it. And since we don't have the mass media, we have to do it organically. We have to use the internet. So we have to find the proper information, but we have to mind from clinging on to feeble minded fairy tales and myths. That's how we do it.
Right on.
This is the dialogue they don't want us speaking about.
No, they don't want us to have dialogue amongst each other. That's for damn sure, especially those of us who are espousing the awakening of our minds and the control of our minds and our actions. But brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Of course, our call-in number is 215-490-9832. You're listening and with my guest, my good friend, Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People's Matrix, the Black People Matrix, not S, there's no S, not Black People's, the Black People Matrix.com. And you need to check him out and listen to some of the, and read some of the good information that he's constantly presenting to help our people understand that. And let me just say this before that. I like the fact that you use the Matrix because when I first saw the movie, The Matrix, and I didn't know that the movie initially was written by a sister. A sister wrote the Matrix series, and she also wrote another series that they didn't give her credit for. And of course, she sued and she won, and she won a pretty decent sized settlement because the movies that she had written. I mean, the things when they're made into movies had made billions of dollars. They made billions of dollars. The host, you know, they call them a franchise, you know. Because The Matrix, what, had about four Matrix movies, and then there's another movie that she wrote, I can't remember offhand right now, that also had a number of sequels into it. But the point is that when I first saw The Matrix movie, I thought that was the situation with us. There's a rebel, a group of us, who are thinking independently, who are thinking pan-Africanly. You know, we believe in African people. We believe in doing for ourselves. We want to be independent of this Caucasian, you know, because we realize the amount of control they have on our minds and our bodies and our ability.
And the non-humans have the humans in prison. Just like us,
yeah. You know? So, yeah. You know,
okay,
so,
but I want to say something. I'd be amiss not to say it. I should have said it earlier. Every time I speak, I have to mention there is what I tell people, instead of focusing on Willie Lynch, focus on Dr. Edward Bernays. He was a master litigation expert. He was affiliated with the Tavistock Institute of Human Behavior. That's the organization who ordered one of these books. It cost $2,000 to order one book. And they do have They keep the masses from their knowledge.
Wow.
And they call, and the Tavistock Institute of Human Behavior
yeah.
calls Dr. Edward Bernays their greatest prophet.
Yes.
They call him their greatest prophet. Dr. Bernays was the nephew of Sigmund Freud. He took Sigmund Freud's study of the mind. He used it to control the masses.
Yes.
Dr. Edward Bernays was a advisor to 5 U.S. presidents. I'm giving examples who this guy is also. Dr. Bernays' program for controlling the mind through mass media manipulation was so great. I'll give an example of what he did. During the 1930s, the tobacco industry, so there were millions of women who were not buying their product. That's an untapped market. How do we get these millions of women to start smoking? See, back then, smoking was considered taboo. Women didn't smoke. So Dr. Edward Bernays did a media campaign at this big parade in New York, and he had these women smoking and taking pictures of them, and he put it all in newspapers, and he spread it, and he called it freedom. He made it appear to be a symbol of empowerment, female empowerment. So the women saw the ad, and millions started smoking.
Yeah.
Based upon that
yes.
media campaign.
Yes.
Okay? This is Dr. Bernays. Also, I'm sure we've heard of them putting fluoride. Yeah, fluoride in the toothpaste, which back in the day was a poison.
Right, and fluoride
and
into
when
the
they
water.
Started putting it inside the toothpaste, there was this concern and angry response from the public. So Dr. Edward Bernays was again hired again to create a campaign, making it appear safe but attractive. And the people got, okay, we'll start using it. People are controlled by information. Another one, bacon. When we eat bacon, you know how we eat bacon and eggs? That's part of breakfast. That's an American staple. Back in the day, no one ate bacon and eggs for breakfast. For the media campaign, bacon was not an American food behavior. It was considered a throwaway part of the hog. Dr. Edward Bernays was hired, and he did a campaign, and he did commercials and ads with the bacon and eggs. The American way. And we start eating it. So we're programmed.
Yes.
When we're also telling you things like the best sort of protein is red meat, the steak by steak. It creates a thing inside the man that a real man eats steak.
Right.
When we watch football on Super Bowl Sundays, it's a man thing. Let's watch the game. That's all by program. The elite programmers, and they started tying football to Sundays, and there's a campaign. People don't realize how easily we are programmed. Once you awaken, you understand social engineering. We're always being socially engineered. But I'll give you an example, and this happens every day. And millions of us are seeing this, but you just wasn't opening your eyes. Soldiers, okay? People function based upon narratives that have been imposed upon them and indoctrinated into their minds. This is how people are controlled. A great example is the American soldier or soldier anywhere. Now, you notice that whenever when a soldier's going to war, they impose a narrative on him. We're fighting for freedom. We're liberators. These narratives that they're throwing on them, it's not just a campaign term. Those have psychological ramifications. When you inject upon the soldier that he's a liberator, that he's a rescuer, that he's fighting for freedom, the soldier will now become motivated and will travel to other countries and kill people he don't even know. The soldier will even lay down his life to defend those narratives, even though the narratives are false.
People function based upon narratives imposed upon them
and adopted their mind.
And because and what happens here is that, you know, here you have these men trained to go do that, and you tell them to go over there and fight these people. They have no idea why. They're robotic.
So they go over there and kill these people. You made a point. You know, you said people do within the military. You know, the military, we don't call them people. In all of our books, they're called enemy. We don't say people. We never say people because we're being programmed to dehumanize them, and we see them as the enemy.
Exactly.
I mean, people, we have to study how this stuff works. Now, I'm going to stop talking so much. I get so punk in this. But there's a situation, a scenario that fits with being done to black people. Okay? Imagine, if you would, that there's a ship out at sea. Okay? And this ship is being followed by a second ship. And the second ship controls all of the information being going into the first ship. And they're constantly telling the first crew negative information. Your ship is, you're incompetent. Your crew are fools. Your ship is slowly sinking, driving in circles, and mutiny being planned. The group of people constantly receiving the negative messages about themselves will become besieged by them. They'll internalize them, and they will start hating each other, distrusting each other, fighting each other based upon the constant negative information. Their inability to confirm or refute them is about to absorb them. The people on that ship have become so demoralized by the negative information, they might dive into the water and swim toward the taunting ship, thinking it is better, even if their ship was in fact the better one. These people swimming to the other ship are the ones we call coons and sellouts. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Yeah.
it's a programming. As long as we call on to Willie Lynch and biblical stories, we're never going to open our minds and see those things bind our minds. First of all, I am not an atheist. I have a spiritual system that's connected to my intellect because I know we come from a great people.
Right.
The pyramid builders, intellect.
Right, and that's why
and a spiritualism and an intellectual without creator, the balance.
You know,
it's not religion.
You know, the next time
my mind isn't dumbed down.
No. Listen. The next time we come together on this, that's what I would like us to do too. Is talk about the theologies that we've been giving and how they operate on our mind. You know, because there are beliefs.
Our original system was so diverse. It said some say they felt it from their mind. Some said it came from their heart. Some said it came from above. But it didn't matter because they were all correct. It was all their individual spiritualism experiences. It wasn't a church where we paid tithes. It was a connection from the inner.
That's right.
Yes.
It's an inner connection. It's a spirituality. But these religions that we have that we believe so strongly in are to our detriment. The reason why African people cannot come together and do for themselves is because, number one, Christianity is not a religion that is encompassing. Christianity is not a religion that is collective. Christianity is a religion that speaks to you individually.
Hold on now. You talk about religion, what happens? Every time you talk about religion, there's some black person who's uninformed, who's going to call you and says, hold up now. We had Christianity in Ethiopia before the white folks had it. That's a damn lie. Constantine created Christianity in 324 AD. 325 AD. Christianity did not become the official religion of Ethiopia until 341 AD. 16 years, and it was forced upon the original Ethiopians. So those who are calling you, hold up, Christianity was first. We didn't have that bullshit first. That's a lie.
Let me say this. Regardless of when Christianity started, I'm dealing with what happened to Christianity in the controls of Europeans. What happened at the Nicene Conference of 325 AD with Constantine, and what went on since that time? Who controls it? How it is controlled, and who they give it to control others? That's the issue. We only have about a minute left, brother. So
okay, remember the original books. It wasn't Christianity. They destroyed 18 books of the original doctrine to make Christianity, and the original one didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. The Romans made him into a Messiah because they said he was the Messiah and the key to heaven, and they controlled his image. So it means they now hold the key to heaven. So it gave them immense power. But the original doctrine didn't believe in the Trinity, nor did they believe in the Messiah. So it really was not Christianity. It was a different spiritual system. According to Dr. Ben, the original person was based off a man born in a cave in Ethiopia. At the conference, they changed it to he was born in a manger in Bethlehem, and they merged his history with the history of Osiris.
Right.
Well, we
don't have time now. We don't have time now to go to it, and we'll get a time at another program that we'll definitely be at.
One love.
You know it, Brother Frank.
I love my people.
I know. We're both very passionate about what we are doing doing.
In fact, I'm not getting offended. It just go back and forth. I'm just talking to intelligent minds, awakened minds. I love it.
I do too, brother. Appreciate it. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Brothers and sisters, Shimhotep, go in peace. Asante Sana, thank you. Be with us on Friday.
On Facebook and the Black Matrix, the Black People Matrix, okay? The Black Matrix on Facebook.
Please thank check you. It out. The Black Matrix on Facebook. God bless you, family. Peace to you.
Thank you, peace.